Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. Let's talk about it.
Hey, let's talk about it, listeners. Cole and Caitlin here today. It's kind of a treat for me. We get to do it together. We don't have a special guest. You're my our special guest.
I am her special guest, and she is mine.
We're super excited because we're jumping into a new series that we have felt compelled to do. We've spent time in our inner team meetings dreaming and kind of believing for this whole statement of what is the truth.
Yeah, and even this series that we're starting in the podcast realm is just really a larger reflection of the season I think that we're in with Moral Revolution, which is a calling and a mandate to declare what the truth is boldly, courageously, with clarity. There's so much murkiness around truth and commitment to truth. And so we want to unpack what is the truth and what are the things right now in culture that are stealing truth and stealing belief in the truth.
Totally. And why is it so important that we continue sharing it? We think back, Chris Vallotton always shares this story about how he really first started the movement. Like, what was the driving force and the factor? And it was this story where he was sharing with these probation students, and he was sharing the story, which many of you, if you've been following Moral Revolution for any amount of time, have heard the ring story, or if you've read the book, it's in there. And so he's sharing this story that's just trying to illustrate, it's like a parable, trying to illustrate how powerful and valuable our virginity is, and that the value of getting it from the battlefield to the bedroom and the honeymoon suite, and what it means to fight for it, and purity, and all of this stuff. And these hardened students come up, and this guy and this girl he shares both come up separately, and they're just like, no one effing told me this. Like, how did nobody ever tell me this? And every time he shares that story, I get goosebumps all over because I can completely relate. And I think for me, growing up in the same situation where you're like, no one told me, I didn't know there was another way, is what I felt like. I'm like, what? There's another option? There's another path? Like, I just thought this is the path we're supposed to go, that everybody goes. But honestly, coming out of it now, 20 some years later, realizing how much the impact and the effect of nobody told me is. And so that's why we're so passionate about telling people that it's so important that we continue to speak the truth, because when nobody effing tells you, you're dealing with the consequences and the trauma and the layers of our broken down thinking, because we don't know what the truth is. We only know what the world is showing us.
Yeah, and that's the problem of where we're at right now. You know, and so we want to, in this series, we're going to give a lot of data, a lot of statistics. We're going to unpack some concepts, some definitions and belief systems around the concept of truth. We're going to focus on four key areas, and we'll have four separate podcasts. And this first one is called The Truth is Unchanging. The next one in the series is going to be The Truth is Biblical. Then we're going to talk about how the truth is beautiful. And the final one will be The Truth is Freedom. And we're going to talk about the intricacies, the nuances, and the layers of those four specific topics. And our hope is that we're going to engage you to revisit what the source of information is that you're using to determine your belief systems.
Yep.
I find that right now the church is absolutely sick and to the core with disease in our belief system. What we actually believe is true and where we're getting the information for our belief system is not what it used to be. It's not the Bible, actually, for many, even in the church. It's not the pulpit on Sunday mornings. We are giving way more validity, credence, and value to the words of people's opinions on social media, to articles that we find, all of that stuff. And we're going to unpack all of that over these next couple sessions. But really what we want to encourage you to do, I ask you to watch all four of these podcasts. They're going to be about 20 to 25 minutes each. And the intent is to engage your thought, to reconsider, where are you finding the source of information? Question the source. Start asking yourself, where did I hear this from? Why did I hear this? Why did I find myself down this path of belief? If you're somebody that isn't right now in the active process of deconstructing your faith, I would encourage you to go back and consider the source that seeded that idea in the first place. What are those people? What are those entities? What are those businesses, corporations, whatever they are, whether it's an individual or it's a nonprofit or whoever that is? Why are they going down the path that they're going down? what I'm watching and what I'm seeing is a lot of people are dealing with a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, and that pain has become the bedrock of their deconstruction. Mm-hmm. They have been hurt by a person, by a human, by an institution, and that hurt and that pain has become the soil that they're seeding these deconstructing philosophies and ideas from. And I'll tell you, I know for myself, Kate, you can speak to this too. We both have been there. Man, pain is a temptress. Mm-hmm. Pain will tempt you into questioning what you know to be true, because pain feels so real. It feels so final. It feels so consuming. Mm-hmm. It feels so present. It feels so overwhelming. Pain feels like it can overwhelm every ounce of truth you've ever been told.
Yeah, so hopeless. I just received a message recently from one of our Moral Revolution people of just saying, like, please, I just need somebody to tell me that it's worth it, that it's, that it can change, that this, like, sexual trauma after then being inside of marriage, like, is it possible? Like, I feel like you're the only person who understands this. Like, I just feel so hopeless and so overwhelming. So yeah, pain can really cloud so much of what we know to be true. And then especially when you're in the middle of it, you're like, I just need somebody on the other side to be like, okay, it is possible. I can fight mm-hmm. through this. I think another thing to assess, whether you're deconstructing or not, maybe you're just, you're like, no, I'm a Bible believer, is assess how much you've been desensitized.
Yeah.
Like how much of your biblical worldview has been muddied by the culture that we're living in, or by the sensitivity or political correctness around how you speak and what you share, because we know it's right now, it's my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth, they truth, them mm-hmm. truth, however many genders truth. Like, no. What is the biblical truth? And where how do we continue to stay in alignment with what the Bible says?
Yeah. So today we want to talk about how the truth is unchanging. It's not relative. It's set. That's one of the things that I found to be probably the most appalling, is how quickly belief systems have changed. And I attribute it to just the sheer access to a people's opinion that gets packaged as truth, where you can, you are on your phone all day, every day, consuming people's opinions. And we're receiving it through this perspective that if I read it, it must be true. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is that's created a moving target of truth. And the core of my belief, I believe this so strongly, the truth is unchanging. Truth today is the same as what it was 100 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. The truth is the same. Mm-hmm. Now, there are experiences that change that doesn't change truth. And I believe, and I want to read a couple definitions here, because I think that when I think of where we're at as society right now, without realizing it or not, I think a lot of even Christians are adopting a humanistic belief system.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that they realize that. I don't think that they would actually label it that. And so I want to read what two definitions, one from Oxford and one from Merriam-Webster, of what humanism belief system is. Because I think when we read this, it's scary how much we actually relate to this and we see these messages throughout culture. Here's what Oxford Dictionary says. It's an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to the human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasizing common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. Now, so before we go on to Merriam-Webster, I think this is really valuable to pause on. It's this idea that God is here, if we believe in God, He's here to serve us rather than us here to serve Him. Hmm. It's this concept that the statements that go with that. Well, a good God wouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. A good God wouldn't say, don't have sex till marriage. It's this concept where we're now trying to use human reasoning. We're trying to use personal experience. We're trying to use human philosophy to try to fit God into this picture that says, here's the life I would like to live, and a good God would let me live that life.
Yeah.
A lot like a conversation I had with my son when he was 8 years old. Connor, were sitting there one night at the dinner table, and my daughter goes, "Dad, you're the best dad in the whole world." And Connor goes, "Psh, no, he's not." And I just started laughing because I'm dying to hear what Connor's thinking. I go,
"What's
his
reasoning?
What's your reasoning, Connor? Like, what do you mean?" He goes, "Well, there's just so many dads in the world. We can't know you're the best dad." And I go, "Well, what would I have to do to become the best dad?" And his answer was so pure, so unadulterated, and actually so common to adults that I know. And he said, "Well, you'd be the best dad if you just gave me whatever I want whenever I wanted it." It's a humanistic belief system. That the goodness of his father is based on him receiving what he wants when he wants to receive it. Hmm. It's this humanistic belief that he is the priority, that the entire world revolves around him, and he gets to decide what's right and wrong. He gets to determine the moral compass. He gets to and it's very common in kids. If you have kids, you see that in your children. That is something that has to, teaching a child to be selfless is something that has to be taught.
Yeah, yep.
But the problem is right now our adults are acting like children as if it's God's job to serve us, and that he revolves around our needs and our wants. Mm-hmm. It's a really scary place to be.
Yeah, totally.
So you go into Merriam-Webster. I want to read their definition. And just this really brief statement initially, I love. It says, devotion to human welfare. Devotion to human welfare. We're supposed to be devoted to the Lord. We're supposed to be devoted to the Word of God. We're supposed to be devoted to the presence of God. And a humanistic mindset says, actually, my primary devotion is my welfare. My primary devotion is to humans' experience of living, the quality of living, the comfort. A doctrine or attitude or way of life centered on human interests or values. Think of that statement. A humanistic mindset is a doctrine, attitude, or way of life that is centered on human interests or values. And I would ask you to pause right now and consider how you spend the majority of your day, both in your thinking and in your actions. I have found that a lot of people have drifted from building their day around being in the presence of God, reading the Word of God, talking about God, focusing on. And I remember a time, and I'm guilty of this myself. I remember a time when we were in school of ministry together where every morning I would wake up, "All right, God, how do I worship you today? Mm-hmm. How do I honor you today? Mm-hmm. How do I put you first today?" You know what I wake up thinking now? How am I going to get my kids to school on time? What's our calendar look like? Yes. What podcast do I have to record today? What meetings do I have? It becomes a very goal-centered thought process from the moment I wake up. Mm-hmm. There are layers and nuances of humanism in the way that we build our day right now, mm-hmm. and we build our weeks, and we build our months, and we build our years. The majority of our thought process, if we're honest, is centered around us. And how do we position our daily life to meet all of our comfort needs?
Yeah, we completely forget about even just walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the light? And what does it mean to, if this truth that's inside of us is unchanging and we're walking in it, how does that affect everybody that we're living with? I think of the verse that says, "Go into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God." Like, imagine how different if the focus was the presence of God, being in the Word, and then knowing that you're going out into the world uncorrupted to be a breath of fresh air.
Absolutely. And so the danger that we're in right now is that most people are creating, and I'm talking specifically to the church, to Christians. We're creating a hybrid that is kind of what we remember of the Bible, because the next session, we're going to talk about biblical literacy, and it is shocking where we're at in America. So most of us are building a theology based on what we remember of the Bible the last time we read it.
Or your last Sunday school lesson.
Or your last Sunday, the last time you watched church or went to church, which the average American's going to church 1 to 2 times a month. Wow. So we're going to church 1 to 2 times a month. We're barely reading the Bible. We're going to get into those statistics in when we talk about the truth is biblical, but we're barely reading the Word of God. And so we've got this melting pot of memories of what we think we remember the Bible said, And now we are adding to it this comfort, humanistic, if he's a good God, he wants my life to be comfortable concept.
Right.
And we're trying to determine what truth is based on hope, the hope that our mind will remember the Bible that we used to read. We will recall the presence of God we used to be in. And we then mesh it with, well, God wants me to be happy.
Right. Which, with the picture you just painted, the truth is very changing.
All the truth is doing is changing, actually. It's just the truth changes every day. Yeah, the truth changes based on, do I have bills that I have to pay? Well, the truth just changed today because things I wasn't willing to do a year ago, I'm willing to do now because I need money more than I need the Word of God. And so now all of a sudden, when we're not in the Word and we are focusing on our own comfort and the human experience as the priority or the center of the universe, now what I'm doing is truth is actually defined by my current circumstance.
Yep.
Truth is defined by what my greatest need is right now and what my greatest want is right now. And then I try to figure out how to fashion truth and manipulate truth so that it fits within my greatest need and my greatest want. And so we have this humanistic, hybrid theological belief system that I find growing in the Christian church. And if it's not addressed, we are going to find ourselves in a very scary place in the coming years. So here's the problems that this causes. I want to talk about just three key problems that this humanistic hybrid is causing right now and will cause for you individually and is causing just systemically in the church. See, the problem with this humanist mindset is it makes us the center of the universe, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes me as the person or us as the race, everything's for us. So God's ultimate job is to answer our prayers, satisfy our needs, and give us our wants. It's a really small way to view God, but that becomes what we think. The problems that this causes, number one, is it creates self-centered thinking, and self-centered thinking always leads to self-taught theology based on desires. When I am constantly living every day focused on me, my theology then becomes focused on me. And the question stops being, how can I draw close to God? Mm-hmm. And it becomes, how can I have my desires fulfilled?
Yeah. It's dangerous.
If you're spending the majority of your day trying to figure out how your desires are going to be fulfilled, you're going to drift, if you haven't already begun to do so, into a self-centered humanist theology. My day needs to start with, how can I find closeness with God today? Mm-hmm. Because God can be known. Because our God is not a distant God and he offers relationship as the core piece of our experience with him, that has to be the central focus of our time spent on earth. And then out of that connection with the Father, then comes the needs being met and the wants being answered and the desires being fulfilled. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And then all these things will be added unto you. He says this, when you seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. And so he's putting earthly fulfillment on the other side of spiritual fulfillment.
Yep.
But most of us are seeking just the earthly fulfillment. And so we're living lives now, we're trying to find our own answers.
Yep.
How do I get my own needs met? Even that humanistic philosophy where it ends there is philosophy. And a goodness of human beings emphasize common human needs and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. We are literally then taking the super out of the natural and making sure that we only have natural solutions to our challenges. Mm-hmm. Think about it, though. How often do you find yourself there? How often are we going to the pill over the prayer? How often are we going to the rational solution over the supernatural answer?
Yeah.
It's a humanistic mindset.
Yeah.
It's one that says, God is expecting me to solve all of my thoughts, my problems, my issues, my relational issues. I got to get all my healing myself. I've got to get. And God's saying, no, this isn't a humanistic I haven't created you to be humanistic. I've created you to be supernatural. Lean into my presence, yeah. and I'm going to give you supernatural solutions to your natural problems.
100%.
Humanism says, hey, let me solve it myself. That's that self-centered self-theology that is being built is focused solely on you getting your desires fulfilled and your needs and your wants met.
I think an example I thought of while you're sharing that is just the very natural way of problem solving that many of us go to that we're huge proponents for is counseling,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we're like, yes, therapy, counseling, professional help when you need it. But we don't want to err so much that way that we forget about the great counselor.
Yeah.
Like the Holy Spirit counsels us and leads yeah. us into all truth. Like he's the great comforter. He's the great counselor. And so it's this dichotomy of figuring out, I don't want to go so far this way where I'm like, I have to figure it out on my own. The whole part, like what trust and faith means is leaning and depending and relying on God.
Mm-hmm.
When you break down the word believe in God, because let's go really simple. Like if people say they're a Christian, they're just saying, I believe in God. But believe is depend on, rely on. So yeah. are we depending? Are we relying? Are we remembering that it is that we want to live in the supernatural grace yes. of the Lord?
Yeah, that's it. And finding that fine line, right? Like mm-hmm. don't not take the pill. But lean into the presence of God first. It's mm-hmm. it's a mindset shift.
Yep.
Secondly, the problem this causes is truth becomes relative, conditional, and cultural.
Yeah.
What is okay and what is not okay becomes dependent on the current culture, environment, and context of the society that we're in. And if truth is able to be changed by culture, by relativity, and by conditions, then it's not truth.
Mm-hmm.
Truth that is changed by the current temperature of society is not truth. And that's what humanism does, is it says, well, whatever it feels the most right today has to be the truth. And that is a very dangerous, unstable, unsettling, no foundation place to live.
Yep.
Because then when you look at the health of, like, let's use this example of family. Study after study after study have proven that children are the healthiest as adults when they're raised in a healthy, functioning home with a father and a mother, a husband and a wife, a man and a woman who love each other, who create a safe foundation in their marriage.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter if there's 12 kids in the home or 2 kids in the home. Study after study after study has uncovered this. Specifically, the CDC does one every year every 10 years called At-Risk Youth Survey. And every conclusion is that kids are less likely for depression, less likely for drug abuse, less likely for what they would call risky sexual behaviors if they're in a nuclear family. Mm. Well, currently in culture right now, everybody's questioning that. Do you really even need to get married if you are heterosexual? Probably not. You can still make it work and everything is okay. There's a new normal and new families and think new. But the reality of it is our children are becoming less and less healthy. Depression is rising.
Yeah.
Suicide is rising. You look at the unhealth of our children right now, mm-hmm. and then we blame all of these other factors. The reality of it is we've stripped away the foundation of family from them.
Yeah.
And when you have now said, well, current cultural truth isn't that you have to have a male father and a female mother in a home for a child to be healthy. We now have said truth is relative. Every type of family is okay and is healthy. Mm-hmm. Well, statistics are not saying that. Statistics are completely contradicting that truth. And yet here we sit with a relative idea of, well, it's not very convenient to stay married. So I got to change the truth for current right. culture so that it fits my humanistic needs rather than fighting through the challenges that marriage brings. Okay, the last thing. Last problem that this causes is the moral compass of right and wrong is always up for change and can be rewritten whenever it seems fit to do so.
Yikes.
I mean, when you're talking about a humanistic mindset, one that prioritizes God's job is to make us happy, we now have said the moral compass is up for review every 12 months. I'm going to revisit the moral compass, and maybe what was wrong a year ago isn't wrong today because of why? Because I've seen so many social media videos that have changed my mm-hmm. view of what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Or people base their moral compass around what other Christians are doing around them. So they're like, oh, well, Christians are watching this show, exactly, then yeah. I can watch that show. I didn't even think about that being wrong because these Christians I look up to are watching that absolutely. And celebrating it. It's like, whoa, where did we go wrong here?
We've been using the absolute wrong rubric to grade our moral compass and determine what's right and what's wrong, what's permissible and what's not permissible for us. We're not working out our salvation with trembling and fear. Many of us are working out our salvation with Twitter and TikTok.
That's good.
It's true.
And true.
Like, I would challenge you, if you're watching and listening, to consider when the last time you had to make a moral decision, what was the basis of that decision? Did your mind go to what you read, watched, and consumed on your phone? Or did it turn to Scripture to determine what was right or wrong in a moment that you were at a decision point? Mm-hmm. I think if a lot of us are honest, we're realizing, oh man, my brain immediately went to content consumed on the internet over content consumed in Scripture.
Yeah.
Here's why this is so dangerous. We were warned that this would happen.
Yep. Yeah, so in 1 Timothy 4:1-5, it says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry."
And it was 2 Timothy. I had it wrong on our notes.
Oops.
So if you were like, that is not the same verse, it's because it was 2 Timothy. But this, what a warning. And man, I feel like we as the church have forgotten this. I think that right now this is a passage that the church needs to be meditating on, that we need to be filtering every bit of information we consume through this Scripture.
Yep. I think it's crazy because it's just a reminder that this wasn't written to, those of you who have vocational ministry and receive a paycheck from the church. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, this is to all believers.
Yep.
And it's like, do the work of an evangelist, like telling the truth. But right before that, it said endure hardship, which I just think that's what has gotten us this far, is people are not willing to endure the hardship and have the hard conversations.
Yes.
No, love is not love. Love is God. God is love. Love is patient. It's kind. You know, it's 1 Corinthians love. Like, we're afraid to step on toes we walk on eggshells.
We're avoiding hardship at all costs rather than enduring hardship.
And then we just go hide in our little bubbles and maybe even there still become desensitized and not share the truth because we're still afraid that we're too hardcore or too biblical. It's like, no. This is what the world needs.
Yeah. Does not change. It has not changed. We are called to preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season to do what? To correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience, careful instructions. For a time will come, and I would say for the time is here.
Yeah.
When people will not put up with sound doctrine, instead to suit their own desires, they have gathered around them, I'm changing it to present tense, they have gathered around them a great number of teachers to say whatever their itching ears want to hear. How do we guard against this as Christians?
We have to stay connected to the Spirit of God and be in our Bibles daily.
The consumption of our content is, I think, the number one thing that needs addressed right now in the church.
Yeah.
We are trained by what we're being entertained by.
Yeah.
What we choose to allow to entertain us, movies, music, social media, whatever it is, those pieces of entertainment are becoming part of our subconscious theological belief mm-hmm. about right and wrong, moral compass, and who God is. Mm-hmm. Colossians 3:2-3 tells us, set your mind on things above. The reality of it is most of us spend the majority of our day, and we're going to talk about this in the next section where the truth is biblical. We're actually going to break down statistics. There's a State of the Bible address that is done every single year by the American Bible Society. We're going to break down some of the statistics in this, but it is appalling and shocking at how disengaged we are from Scripture and how re-engaged we are to our phones and to social media. And that, as the vocal point of our entertainment, is what is stripping us of truth and what's making truth a moving target. Mm-hmm. We are here to declare truth is unchanging. The truth is clear. It is biblical. It is beautiful. It is freedom. I'm going to be very upfront with you. We're asking you to partner with us. If you're watching this podcast and you're a part of the Moral Revolution community, would you consider helping us fund this movement of Truth Is? We are building and creating content and resources and social media posts and push that are going to unapologetically declare the truth. We've already begun it. You've seen our Porn Is Lying to You campaign. We've already begun to do many of these things. We need your help to do it. And I'm talking specifically financially. We would ask you to consider donating, whether it be one time or a reoccurring gift. Please go to our Truth Is website at moralrevolution.com so that you, if you would consider donating and helping us with this message, we want to get this message out where we can help people revisit why they believe what they believe, and can we get back to the reality that the truth is unchanging, that the truth is biblical. It leads to freedom, and man, it's beautiful when we understand it and see it purely. So here's an unadulterated request. As we get to the year, the end of 2022, would you consider pausing and giving a year-end gift to Moral Revolution so that we can continue to declare this truth, so that we can speak this out, so we can create content from blogs to social media posts to free resources and podcasts like this and more that are declaring the Word of God as truth. We need your partnership. Be a part of the declaration of truth through Moral Revolution. Thank you guys for tuning in. Watch for the next one. The Truth Is Biblical is going to be coming out, and I can't wait for this next podcast. Please grab it, share it, because we're going to dive into Scripture and current cultural trends and how they're contradicting biblical truth.
Yes. So find out more at thetruthiscampaign.com. We'll see you guys later.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.